भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Bhagavatam
Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text 33, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Iti vyavasitam tasya vyavasaya saratamo darshayam asatva devim haroyane nagachatim.
The great associates of Vaikuntha Loka, Nanda and Sunanda, could understand the mind of Dhruva Maharaj, and thus they showed him that his mother, Suniti, was going forward in another plane. Purport, this incident proves that the Shiksha or Diksha Guru, who has a disciple who strongly executes devotional service like Dhruva Maharaj, can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced. Although Suniti was an instructor to Dhruva Maharaj, she could not go to the forest because she was a woman, nor could she execute austerities and penances Dhruva Maharaj did. Still, Dhruva Maharaj was able to take his mother with him. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj also delivered his atheistic father Hiranyakashipu. The conclusion is that a disciple or an offspring who is a very strong devotee can carry with him to Vaikuntha Loka either his father, mother, or Shiksha or Diksha Guru. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission, propagating Krishna consciousness, to be successful. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world, and sometimes I think that even though I'm crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he'll be able to carry me with him into Vaikuntha Loka. This may seem to be a strange statement, that the disciple can carry the guru back to Godhead. Generally we think that the guru will carry the disciple. Actually, who's carrying who? We say his divine grace, or in Sanskrit, that's Krishna Kripa Sri Murti. So, divine grace means whose grace? Or Kripa means whose Kripa? We talk about Guru Kripa, or the guru delivering the disciple. But actually, who does anything? All power comes from Krishna. Who can deliver anyone from this material entanglement? Krishna is known as Mukunda. He is the giver of mukti. So Krishna may empower his representative, someone he accepts as his representative, to deliver others. And therefore we say that such and such a devotee has delivered so many people back to Godhead. But we understand that that's not by his personal power, but that's by the power of Krishna, which is invested in him. Sometimes a very powerful devotee is called a Shaktyavesh avatar. That means he's come to this world, avatar. He's come from the spiritual world with a specific purpose. And he is Shaktyavesh. He is empowered by Krishna for the specific purpose of delivering others. Actually, whatever power is there, even the power to lift your finger, it's coming from Krishna. We have no personal power. There are many powerful people in the world. We have the Clintons and the Yeltsins, and they're considered very powerful. But where do they get their power from? They get their power from Krishna. He bestows it upon them. And after some time, it will be gone. There's one Prime Minister of India. One astrologer calculated that after his death, one man in Sweden had two dogs, and one of them was formerly Pandit Nehru. So before, he was a very powerful prime minister, and he was simply a dog in someone's house. So that comes and goes. Material power. But who is invested with the power of Krishna, he can deliver others. Now, here it's stated that sometimes the disciple can deliver the guru. It seems very strange. There are cases. Madhvacharya, he was listening to his guru explain the Shastra. But he said, his guru was a Mayavadi. So Madhvacharya said, actually this explanation isn't very good. So then Madhvacharya preached in the proper philosophy, and then this Achyuta Preksha, this Madhvacharya's name, he convinced his guru. Same thing with Ramanujacharya, that his guru was a famous Mayavadi. Even today his guru's commentaries are famous, that who was teaching him. Yadav Prakash. So he was teaching, and this time he was speaking on some philosophy. This time Ramanuja was massaging him. So he explained that there is one name of Lord Vishnu. He explains that his eyes are red like the backside of a monkey. That's the original. That's, if you see the Sanskrit, it may look like that. So when Ramanuja heard this, he didn't want to say anything against his teacher, but he felt very upset, and some out of upset feeling, some hot tear fell on the body of his guru. So hot tear means out of anger. Cold means out of pleasure. Anger or distress. Hot tears will come. So his guru understood, what's this? Why is this? So then Ramanuja told, actually this, how can we accept this? It's very offensive to Lord Vishnu to say that. So then his guru became very angry with him. But then Ramanuja explained, actually it doesn't mean like this. You have to understand the Sanskrit in a different way. If you explain it in a different way, then it means his eyes are red like the rising sun. So that's the proper explanation. And his guru became very angry and said, you think you're better than your guru? And he actually made some plot to kill him. But eventually Ramanuja, he was saved by the Lord, and then his guru could understand, actually he's empowered by the Lord. And then his Yadav Prakash actually became just like the disciple of Ramanuja. So there may be cases. Here's the case, Dhruva Maharaj. His mother wasn't a highly advanced devotee. She'd simply heard, as anyone may hear, that Krishna can help you. God will help you. Generally, any pious mother will tell the son, God will help you. Take shelter of him. Someone was telling me in his childhood he had to go to school through the jungle. So they heard some tiger had been seen there. But still the parents said, you have to go to school. How can I go to school? You chant as you go. All the time you chant Ram, 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 non-stop as you go. Then no tiger will hurt you. So generally the mother will say, you believe in God, you worship God. She may or may not have very deep knowledge. Generally, traditionally women are housewives, they stay at home. So Suniti also, she told her son, I can't help you. And who can help me? God can help. Where can he be found? Well, I don't know, but the yogis, they worship him there in the forest, so I suppose he must be in the forest. So Dhruva Maharaj took it very seriously. He went to the forest. Suniti was, in this case, his Shiksha Guru, you may say, or Vadma Pradarshan Guru, one who showed the path. Go this way. Then Narad Muni came, and he was Shiksha Guru, and then became Diksha Guru. Generally, one who gives Shiksha, then he is accepted as Diksha Guru. So Narad Muni became the guru who gave him the relevant the general direction was given by Suniti, but Narad Muni gave specific directions. Do like this, do like this, do like this. And then Dhruva Maharaj became so qualified that he could go back to Godhead. But his mother went also, because she gave the right path. So Prabhupada says here, this is one of the famous purports of Srila Prabhupada, for this statement of intense humility. That Prabhupada, who by the grace of Krishna is delivering the whole world, not only during his presence, but even now, so many people are coming to the Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Why are they coming? Because of Prabhupada. Because of his books, because of the movement that he set up. It's all going on by the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada is saying that, well, now so many people are coming to this Krishna conscious movement, so I hope at least one of them becomes strong enough so he can carry me back to Godhead. You see, intense humility. Someone who's delivering others in this way, he's definitely favored by Krishna. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, no one is more dear to me than he preaches. No one did this. No one can ever do what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada established Krishna consciousness all over the world. No one believed it was possible. Nowadays we have so many people coming who are saying, yes, I was friends with Prabhupada. At that time no one wanted to be his friend because they thought, what is it? He's preaching to them lectures. We're too high class with this. So many people are claiming association with him, and they'll say, I have something more or better to say than some nonsense thing they say. More than Prabhupada. The actual fact is that Prabhupada was favored by Krishna. Otherwise, how could he have done this? So this is, Prabhupada is actually carrying the mercy of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that this Krishna consciousness would spread all over the world, and Prabhupada actually did it. Although no one believed it was possible. No one was even thinking about it. Among Prabhupada's godbrothers, no one was even thinking. They just doing maybe a little preaching here and there. But no one was thinking of a worldwide movement. Even if they were preaching in other parts of India, still, just like they had a center in Delhi, which was actually all these, whatever centers they had, Delhi, and that was all established in the time of Bhaktisthana Saraswati. And I think Madhav Maharaj went much under in Dehradun. Right? You don't even know about that. You don't even know, you see. It's so quiet. You don't have any activities. But even then in Delhi they opened some center, but who was coming? Only Bengalis. So they couldn't even attract any other Indians. Only Bengalis. What to speak of, because that's already their culture then. What to speak of preaching all over the world. So Prabhupada did that. Once Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Madras with his disciples, just like we were walking on the beach here in Manam this morning, chanting our rounds. So one of Prabhupada's disciples said that we heard from some people in the Gauriya Math that actually if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, he would have done it himself. He didn't do it, therefore he didn't want it. Therefore, why are you doing it? You shouldn't do it. You're saying it's very bad. His Bhaktivedanta Swami has gone all over the world. He's preached Krishna consciousness. Why? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't do it. Why should he do it? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this will be spread all over the world. Anyway, Prabhupada gave the reply that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't personally preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, because he wanted to give me the credit. Just like Krishna, you may say, well, why did Krishna, why didn't he personally fight in Kurukshetra and kill everyone? He wanted to give Arjuna the credit. See, Rama went to Lanka, he built a bridge, of course it was a very special bridge, no one else could make a bridge like that. But Hanuman jumped. You see, he didn't have to build a bridge, he could just jump. Ram can also jump. But he wants to give credit, you see. My devotee is better than me. Even Hanuman could have... He said to Sita that, okay, I'll just kill everyone here, finish them off, and I'll take you back. He said, no, 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 my husband has to do it. Okay, all right, I'll go back and tell him, and he can come and do it. So even the devotee can be empowered to do as much or even more than the Lord himself. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just preaching in India. Prabhupada preached all over the world. So he got mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do even more than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. And he is saying, he was the devotee who is the fulfilled the teachings of all the previous acharyas. You can't understand how great are Prabhupada's books. In these books are all the conclusions of the Vedic knowledge, put so simply and clearly that even people without a background of Vedic knowledge can understand. Previously, to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to study Sanskrit, and there's so many deep points of philosophy. In Bhagavatam there is refutation of Sankhya philosophy, Nyaya philosophy, Patanjali yoga, but you don't even know. The Prabhupada has given everything here. How great is Prabhupada? We can't even understand. Just like if you're standing next to a mountain, you can't understand how big it is. So we're reading Prabhupada's books all the time, we're taking his instructions, but we cannot imagine how dear Prabhupada is to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he is saying, sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Loka. This is Vaishnava humility. He's delivering the whole world by the grace of Krishna. And he's thinking, not that he's just saying that out of some kind of poetry, but he's saying that I'm hoping one of my disciples may deliver me back to God. This is the humility of the Vaishnava. So actually that point is there, that Prabhupada is saying my disciple may deliver me, although he's delivering all his disciples undoubtedly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used to say, to his disciples, he used to address them as my friends, deliverer from evil, he used to say. And his guru, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, always would address his only disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would call him Prabhu. Because he's thinking, actually, he's a great devotee. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, my friends, deliverer from evil, deliver us from evil. You're saving me. So a guru may feel like that also, that my disciples, they're also helping me. Because my function as guru is to teach them, but if they weren't there to, if they weren't listening, if they weren't following, then who could I teach them? What would I do? So they are also engaging me in Krishna's service. They're giving me something to, otherwise sit in a cave and chant Hare Krishna. But my guru won't be satisfied with that. He's told me to preach. So if someone responds to that preaching, then at least we can teach them, and then they can go and preach to others. In this way the Krishna conscious movement can spread. So in this way everyone's helping everyone else. Actually, in Krishna's eyes everyone is servant. But within this material world we have great guru, disciple, grand disciple, all these different relations. That is required for teaching. But in Krishna's eyes everyone is servant. And it may be that sometimes the disciple, he surpasses the guru, although the disciple would never think like that. But in his activities, he may do. He may actually, just like we see from time to time, there are very prominent acharyas. So that means that in terms of their activities and their empowerment by Krishna, they may be more empowered, or in terms of their activities, they may be doing more than their own disciple, than their own guru. But they never think like that. If you think, now I'm doing more than my guru, then immediately you get cut off from the mercy. There's one story in Bhakti Ratnaka. There was one, this was just after the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's one devotee, I believe his name was Jai Gopal. So his guru's guru, right, was one of the prominent associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm not remembering exactly. But his own guru, he just had a few disciples. So his own guru was not well known, but he became a little bit well known for his preaching and his Jai Gopal. So people used to ask, who is your guru? He'd say the name, and people didn't know, who is that? So he'd describe, well, he's a disciple. So after some time, he just used to say, well, I'm a disciple, and then he would give the name of his grand guru. Because he thought, well, see, people don't know the name of my guru, and they know the name of my guru's guru. So he introduced himself as that. And at that time, Virabhadra Gosai, he was the leader of all the He's the leader of the all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. So he sent a message to Srinivas Acharya that you don't recognize, you should cut him off, because he's Guru Langhan. He's overstepping his own guru. So the system comes. Parampara system. Chain. Chain comes. The mercy is coming down in disciplic succession. So a disciple never thinks that, well, now I'm doing more than my guru. See, even in ordinary terms, you'll find there's always something that some disciple can do more than the guru. Just like, actually, I don't think anything Prabhupada, in cooking, no one was better, in preaching, in kirtan. But there may be something, just like you can see there's that very nice video they were describing about Prabhupada was chanting, and they said, later Prabhupada will dub in the sounds, and Prabhupada, he couldn't follow, it's the technological, that we'll later on we'll dub in the sounds. Prabhupada said, you know, I don't know, you know all these things, I don't know. So at least in technological matters, some of his disciples were more accomplished than him. Should they think that, well, Prabhupada doesn't know about this, I know more. If you think like that, then you're not a proper disciple. So it may be that sometimes the disciple, they may have a sweeter voice for singing in kirtan, or they may be more expert in playing madanga, or they may know some shlokas which maybe the guru doesn't know, or in some way they may in their preaching they may be more charismatic, they may attract more people even than the guru does. But if they think, oh, now I'm better than my guru, then they're finished, actually finished. Krishna doesn't accept. You should think that whatever is coming, it's coming by the grace of Guru. That's all. That's the proper, and actually that's the fact. It's not just that he should think like that, but actually that's the fact. Because all power, any power is coming from Krishna. But in the spiritual field, whatever ability we have, that is coming from Krishna, but through his representatives, through the chain of disciplic succession. So Krishna gives abilities, and Krishna takes them away. So if we think, oh, I'm so much better, this, that, then we get cut off from devotional life. And there are cases like this. Even when Prabhupada was personally present, Prabhupada, self-effulgent acharya, like the sun. You see, the sun comes up. You don't need any torchlight to see the sun. So that's called self-effulgent. So obviously Prabhupada was the acharya of the whole world, saving everybody. But even when Prabhupada was personally present, some people were going to some babas in Bengal and Radhakund. Oh, we have some secret mantras that your guru hasn't taught. He's only teaching on a very basic level. He's not teaching the full Gauriya Siddhanta. You have to come to me. So even in that time, they were so foolishly, Prabhupada saved them from being dogs and cats in the streets of America. That means dogs and cats in human form. And they're thinking, not many, just one or two. I can say the names, but what benefit is there? Actually two. Two, and then later after Prabhupada left, another two. They went like this, thinking that, oh, now we've got something. Very foolish, actually. There's someone was saying, we'll teach you your Siddha Pranali, in which you have to imagine yours. I'll tell you what is your eternal position in Krishna Leela. So he told that actually you're a peacock. So this foolish so-called devotee started imitating peacock in the name of Krishna consciousness. It's a nonsense. Nonsense. They think, now I've become more advanced. I've become a peacock in Vrindavan. But actually they become by this Guru Langhan, crossing over Guru, they become a crow in hell. Crow means he is always in hell. Even if a crow means they're condemned species. So actually you have to be very careful in spiritual life. Understand what the system is. Sometimes we see that Someone accepts a guru, then the guru may chastise him and say, oh, I don't like him anymore. Why is he chastised? I'm good. I'm very nice. I didn't do anything wrong. He's misunderstanding me. You should never think. Even if you think he is misunderstanding, you should think that's his mercy. Sometimes that may be there. But misunderstanding means you may be chastised with sin. Sometimes it happens, you may be chastised for doing something which actually you may think is not your fault, but you should still think it's mercy. Even if it's someone else's fault, I'm so lucky I got chastised. It means the guru is being very kind to me. He's not chastising me, how am I going to improve? And this should be the attitude of a devotee. And with that attitude, then Krishna will be very pleased. But if he thinks, now I've become as good as or better than my guru, then he's finished. That's a fact. That's a fact. So we should be very careful in this regard. Another point is how, now from our situation, you know, Prabhupada, he's not being delivered by others, he's delivering others. But Suniti helped to deliver Dhruva Maharaj and then she became delivered. So this is a clue how we can also go back to Godhead by preaching Krishna consciousness. Because if others, we preach to others and try to help them come to Krishna consciousness, then we may think, I'm useless. How can I possibly go back to Godhead? I have so many material attachments and desires. But if we try to bring others to Krishna consciousness, then there's a good chance that at least some of them will become strong and go back to Godhead. And if they go back to Godhead, they can bring us too. So we should, not that we shouldn't try ourselves to be Krishna conscious, but if we preach and try to bring others, then they can also help us to go. And we're all helping each other. Disciple, guru is helping the disciples. Disciples are also helping the guru. Like I said, by giving some engagement like that. And all the devotees are helping each other. I mean, this is a cooperative society. We're all cooperating to help each other go back to Godhead. So it's not we're not yogis in a cave who are just trying for ourselves. We're all helping each other. We should always think like that. The devotees are our best friends because they help us to become Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna.
Hey.
Is there any question?
What happens suppose we bring so many people to the Krishna consciousness and after accepting the guru, they fall down. Some other reason maybe they fall down. We have bring them and we nurture them and then they fall down. So how much part we are playing?
Well, that you have to see. I mean, if you are helping them to fall down, that's not very good.
Not helping fall down, but fall down.
No, we should feel, actually a devotee should feel that, we should feel that it's my fault also, that I should have done more to help them. But ultimately, if they insist on falling down, what can we do? Prabhupada initiated so many people, quite a lot of them fell away. But actually, first initiation means giving people a chance. They're following, at least now. So they take the vow. When you take the initiation, you take the vow, so you should follow them. But practically speaking, we see in Kali Yoga, people are so fallen, even if they take initiation vows, in many cases they don't follow. Here also?
Yes.
Many.
Maybe
you should be a little more careful in giving. Because people may do it out of sentiment, take out of sentiment. You see, I see in our society there are more than 80 devotees giving initiation. And although there are rules in our society for governing initiation, at the same time it's not a stereotype thing. Some are more liberal and others are more strict in giving initiation. I know some, they make people wait for 4 or 5 years for first initiation. And even some, after about 4 years, they'll tell, no, I don't think I'm going to initiate. Very strict. Because they want to try to be sure that someone, they want to be sure the person is very, very serious. Because it's a painful thing. If someone comes to you for shelter, and you give shelter, and then you just kick them in. That's what a disciple is doing by falling down. It's just like giving a kick in the face to the guru. It's not palatable. It's not nice. It's heartbreaking, actually. So, some are very strict, and others are very liberal. Because, just like Prabhupada, at different times, Prabhupada was more strict and more liberal. In the early days, Prabhupada was extremely liberal in giving initiation. Sometimes even after that, he would give initiation very easily. But at the same time, he was warning, we have to be strict. Otherwise, people will take it as they'll make a farce of it. So, among our ISKCON gurus also, some are giving, they're more liberal, some are less liberal. Generally, those who are more liberal, they'll have more fallout rate. Those who are more strict, they may have less disciples, but they're likely to be more fixed. So that depends on the individual initiating spiritual master also. If he wants to give people a chance, they're following now, let's give them a chance, at least encourage them to come up. But naturally those who are more liberal like that, then they're more likely to suffer from those who are going away. But in this specific situation, I think that my suggestion is that you, in bringing candidates forward for initiation, that you should be careful about it.
What happens is that he sometimes communicates upwards to the group. Post the problem here in Bahrain, when I find out people are working late night and they don't get up in the morning. Generally, this is one of the problems we are facing. But of course, they will not tell, we are not getting anyone. But we could see by their activities, by their various rounds, and we know how struggle, they are struggling with each other. So that's what.
In the Gulf, this is generally a problem, this chanting. Yes. It's for most devotees, I see it's something that they just kind of fit in somehow or other. Yes. They can't, whatever the reason may be, although in many cases it's this time factor. They just somehow or other, and they're clicking on the machine while they're driving. Finished. You have to make some kind of noise and press this thing enough times, and then that's. So actually, that's not very favorable. And this is something we should consider very carefully. Chanting our rounds clearly, attentively. At the same time, we have programs to attend, reading Prabhupada's books, what to speak of. Working, social and family, social life. I think the devotees there, social life means temple life. That's all. But there are things just like the baby is born, and then you have to look after, and then someone else's baby is born. The ladies, especially, they have to help look after. There are so many things, shopping, and there's always something, as you know. Either the car goes wrong, or the plumbing goes wrong, or there's always some problem. Material life is designed by the inexplicable energy of the Supreme Lord. It's designed that there's always some problem. Shesha klesha, unending. So, it requires a lot of determination to do that chanting properly. And actually, if we take it like this, it's just something to be fit in somehow or other, and it doesn't matter. Let's just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We don't do. Then you won't get any taste for chanting, and then you'll give it up. So this is one particular area of difficulty in this environment here in the Gulf, where you're working late. So you have to see. This is something you should work on. Among the devotees, counseling the devotees about this, put more stress on it. We have so many activities, whatever, but chanting. How is your chanting? It's the basis. Hare-nama eva-kevalam. And maybe, you see, some people may be on shift work, and they have odd hours. Others may regularly work late hours. or they have office work, and then if they're working for a private company especially, then it goes late. The best is to get some government job. then you, when the job is finished, boom, you don't have to think anything.
You're trying to get Krishna's government job.
Well, that's what sadhana is for. But for those who have some job, it's, in that way it's better, because unless you get up high in the organization, then you finish work and that's finished. But if you're working for a company, they'll always make you work more and more.
Work.
What can you do? You're relying on them. They know. In the Gulf, it's like bonded labor. They won't. If they don't employ you, then your visa is gone and you're back in your 2,000 rupee a month job or something in India. So it's like a kind of threat is there. So in that sense, if you can get, and it's not, I mean, it's just a suggestion, it may not be so easy to do. But from that point of view, government job is better. But anyway, a devotee should have the determination to chant properly under any circumstances. But there will be some casualties. I'm sure even those who wait, gurus who wait 4 or 5 years to initiate, even they have some casualties. I wouldn't be surprised. Although if you initiate people who are only coming for a short time, then maybe more likely, because the tests come. In the first few months you may not have so many tests, but the tests come. So those who are really committed, you see, we're asking for 16 rounds minimum and 4 regulated principles. That actually means a lot of commitment to follow them. So if someone waits for 4 years and they're following that, so that shows some commitment. Even then there may be some accidental fall down, but not likely whimsical fall down, which is more likely for someone who's just coming for a short time. Anyway, that you have to see. There's these tests also. That's supposed to show if people are following, they're studying and understanding.
No, the mother digests and they're trying to fix their chanting somehow or other. Take their hand and just try to fix. That's why maybe the study is not coming or the feelings are not coming. They're chanting, no doubt about it. Everybody chanting. But then, like a mechanical,
Yeah, you have to see. I mean, I can understand. You have a certain time. You have to go to work. And it takes time to chant. Somehow or other, you have to arrange. Maybe don't have so many late night programs. Take rest on time. I find in the Gulf also, and it's all these late nights. And in the morning, it's Hare Krishna. Any other question? You wanted to ask something about Tilak. Exactly how there must be some Puranic reference. I don't know. Does anyone know? Yamuna is also daughter of the sun god. Well, that means she's daughter of Kalinda Maharaj, who's the mountain on which she came. So she's also his daughter. Yeah. It's a minor detail, either way. Yeah. Wait, is that in the Pancharatra Pradeep it says to do like that? But if you wash the hands and the excess tilak, that gets washed down the drain, doesn't it? Where do you wash your hands? The tilak, where does it go? It goes and mixes with all the